The cable runs down the whole of the East Coast. Its primary idea is to light up the whole of the East Coast all the way down to South Africa. And then this cable is 17,000 kilometers long, of which 13,500 kilometers is under the sea, and the other is, you know, connecting up into the hub.
Now, does this only have the potential of serving, let's say, internet users on countries that are along the Indian Ocean, or is there also a possibility for countries in the interior to take advantage of this?
The plan is actually, and the first phase is to get all of the anchor countries down the East Coast, and then the second phase is to connect then through into the interior. So from, you know, from these anchor countries into countries in the center of Africa.
Does the SEACOM cable affect only internet at this point, or does it also affect in any way cell phone users?
I mean, it's used, it's IP. It's the internet protocol, so it's an IP network over fiber, which essentially means it can handle all different types of traffic, voice, data, and video at very, very high speeds, you know, incredible speeds, actually 1.28 terabytes, sorry, as a high-capacity fiber optic cable system. So it's able to run all of that. It can also do backhaul, so it could essentially backhaul mobile traffic over IP around Africa and through to Middle East, Europe, or Asia.
You are the president for emerging markets at
Yep.
Cisco. Tell me a bit about your hopes of how this will help affect emerging markets to communicate with each other and perhaps boost trade or boost economic ties.
For me, this just opens up Africa. I mean, you know, I think the famous picture that everybody's, or a lot of people are aware of, is that when you take a picture of the Earth from space at night, you see lights all over the world, and then you see the African continent, and it has very few lights apart from a few places around the edge. So actually, you know, because electricity is either, you know, carefully ran at night, or there's just no infrastructure. It's pretty much the same with broadband. So when you think of what you and I are used to doing every day in terms of using the internet and getting, you know, video-rich applications and using it to collaborate with all the different people we do around the world, you know, Africans are just not used to being able to do that. You know, about 5% of the population in most of the countries of Africa are wealthy enough to be able to use broadband, and everybody else is excluded from it. Now, when you think of the implications of that, both economically, from an education point of view, from a healthcare point of view, from just communities working together and knowledge, which, you know, the more people are educated on issues, particularly things that face their country, they tend to be more stable. Then, you know, all of those things today are really withdrawn from much of the African population. So having then a low-cost, high-bandwidth capacity coming into your country, and more importantly, connecting that country internationally, means it opens up a huge opportunity for the continent.
With the new SEACOM cable, are prices for consumers of the internet expected to fall?
Yes, dramatically. Well, I think most countries are going through some kind of deregulatory environment, certainly the bigger countries. If you take South Africa, for example, there are competitors to Telkom, which is was formerly the national monopoly. But obviously, many of those competitors don't own the copper that goes out around the country. So, you know, that has to be built out, and therefore there's a time lag between, you know, when the true competition cuts in versus people, you know, still having the ability to pretty much hold their prices. So Telkom, for example, have brought their broadband rates down fairly dramatically. And in many of these countries that are going to be connected by this fiber optic, the satellite communications companies have started to drop their prices as well, because typically they're 5 to 6x times, you know, the classic, you know, high bandwidth fiber network such as the one Seacom's, launched. So if you imagine those dynamics all happening at one time, then they tend to, we've seen it happen. I mean, the reason we know it's going to happen is because we've seen it happen all around the world, because we've been supplying many of these companies all around the world and advising governments on regulatory affairs. So one of the things that we do a lot of is talk about pro-competitive regulatory pricing and regulatory standards to many of these countries to make sure the government set up an environment where when these opportunities, commercial opportunities like Seacom, come around, that the population has the ability to take advantage of it in a fair way.